This is Bill Cartill, Chili Billy, welcoming you to a new dimension in sound, a unique experience, an audio excursion with a few friends of mine you will find both interesting and entertaining. You may laugh, you may get a chill, and we might even cause you to stop and think a bit. But let's not linger longer as we level a lively, lucid look at life as Chili Billy goes on record.
You're driving down a desolate highway. You turn off onto a lonely dirt road. After a long distance, you see your destination. A one-room shack. It looks old and deserted. But from it, you hear weird sounds. Something draws you closer. Do you dare open the door and step inside? Do you dare enter the haunted shack? And now your host for Haunted Shack Theater, Uncle Yaya.
This here's Uncle Yaya. Forgive me if I'm speaking in a low voice, yeah, but I'll be frank with you, folks. I'm a little scared. Yeah, I'm a lot scared. I'll tell you why. I think that last episode that I done with Captain Creepool must have upset the gods. Something fierce. I think we've angered the gods. I think they are responding with a severe electrical storm. And I think it's having quite an effect on the haunted jukebox. Yeah, well, that thing is possessed by some sort of demonic force. Yeah, something affects that thing all year. But come October, everything starts to go a little more crazy. Yeah, so I'm gonna put a microphone right up here. I'm gonna put a haunted microphone right up here to the haunted jukebox. Yeah, and you listen to this while you're having kids at the doorstep or you're carving your pumpkin. Haunted Shack Theater, episode 17, the haunted jukebox.
Thank you. In the dark autumn nights of 1888, Londoners were terrorized by a series of horrific murders. Between August the 31st and November the 9th, Jack the Ripper hacked to death and dismembered five prostitutes in the Whitechapel area of East London. He first struck 100 years ago today here in Bucks Row. His victim was a local prostitute, Mary Ann Nichols. On September the 8th, he attacked again in nearby Hanbury Street. His second victim, Annie Chapman, was another of the thousands of prostitutes working in the area. Elizabeth Stride was murdered and mutilated on September the 30th. Later that same night, Catherine Eddowes met the same fate. She was killed here in Mitre Square. Marie Kelly, the Ripper's final victim, was last seen leaving the Ten Bells pub, heading for her lodgings close by in Dorset Street, now White's Row. A barely recognisable body was found in her room, Jack the Ripper's last and most terrible murder. The identity of Jack the Ripper has remained one of the greatest crime mysteries, fueling an industry of speculation which has produced dozens of books and films. Some say he was a surgeon at the London Hospital in Whitechapel Road. Other theories point to a Freemason's conspiracy or even Queen Victoria's grandson.
Well, there are literally hundreds of them. Amongst the most popular theories are that it was a woman midwife, some say it was a doctor from the London Hospital, some say it was a lawyer called Montague Druitt, some say it was Queen Victoria's doctor, a man called Sir William Gull, some people say it was her grandson, the Duke of Clarence, some people say it was even the Prime Minister, Mr. William Gladstone, the former Prime Minister.
Jack the Ripper sent chilling letters taunting the police. Detectives are still baffled and intrigued by the mystery, but accept we'll probably never know the killer's true identity.
If some evidence came to light that nobody can even think of at the moment, it is just possible that I've thought as each year goes by, the chances become rather less.
Despite that, the search continues for the identity of the madman who stalked these dark alleyways 100 years ago.
Religions of man, there is one constant, the personality of the being we call Satan. In Sumeria, he was Baal. In Egypt, Set. In Persia, Aaron. In China, he was chief of the warlocks called Wu. There is always the dark god, the fallen god. There's always Satan. And there are always those who, in their search for God, seem to find Satan instead. Our oldest record of Satan is in the book of Job, written nearly 4,000 years ago. Isaiah and other ancient Hebrew prophets tell that Lucifer held the rank of seraph and was a prince among the angels. He was wisest of all the angels and perfect in beauty. Isaiah referred to him as Son of the Morning. But the prophets claim there came a time when Lucifer challenged God by saying, I shall exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. And so it was pride that caused Lucifer's rebellion and his fall. Driven from heaven, he took one-third of all the angels with him. The fall of Lucifer and the fall of man was a shared experience. And so in time of need, men have reached for the God most like themselves.
Almighty God, of his great mercy, to take unto himself the soul of our dear brother here.
There are many strange and mysterious happenings. Some can never be explained. These stories are strange, but true. It happened in Owensville, Indiana, on a cold day in December. The residents of the tiny community awakened one morning to find a cryptic message painted in huge letters on the sidewalk in front of the public grade school. The message said, "Remember Pearl Harbor." People commented on the strange and mysterious message, but they never knew who put it there or why. As the days and months wore on, the residents of Owensville forgot the three-word inscription. And then, 2 years later, to the exact day, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. Strange, but true.
Hey, creep. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to the Haunted Shack Theater.
TV9, Los Angeles, your RKO General Station.
In the year 1705, Alexander Smith died on the gallows, only to return to life after his body had been cut down. Smith was a convicted criminal in the London area, and His Majesty's Court imposed the death sentence. Smith slowly mounted the steps to the gallows, and the frightening rope was placed around his neck. The executioner pulled the lever to the trap door, and Smith's body hurtled through and dangled jerkily as the last pulsations of life coursed out of his body. Minutes later, his father cut him down and untied the bindings. The dead man's body jerked and twitched. His eyes opened, and a half hour later, Alexander Smith walked home with his bewildered father. How does it feel to die? Smith said,
"I knew when they cut me down and laid me on the ground. And I knew that I had died when the heavy weight drew the noose so tight around my neck that the life was strangled right out of me. At first I had the sensation that my spirit was in great turmoil, and I seemed to be growing lighter and moving upward. A bright ray of light burned through my brain. Then the light seemed to shoot out of my eyes into the black hood they had over my head. I lost all sense of pain. Then after I felt them untying my body on the ground, I felt I didn't want them to bring me back to life because there was a terrible pain in my head as the blood returned to my brain. I actually wanted to remain as I was, dead."
After his uncanny return to life, Smith continued his career of crime and, believe it or not, was once again prosecuted and sentenced to die on the gallows. This time, as the hood was being lowered over his face, Smith laughed at the hangman and said,
"I know how it feels to die. You should try it this time."
No sooner had he uttered those mocking words than the hangman clutched his chest, turned pale, and collapsed. He died of a heart attack. During the confusion, Alexander Smith escaped and was never heard from again. Apparently, he had known how it felt to die and decided that he had had enough. Strange, but true.
Yeah. by the graveyard, just after midnight, strange things start happening that might cause you some fright. Moaning and groaning and the rattling of chain will sound through your brain till you're driven insane. Zombies and visions of creatures absurd will dishevel your nerves without saying a word. The tombstones may creak of our dearly departed, and the sounds that they make can make you faint-hearted. Would you like to join me at the graveyard tonight? If you would, rest assured that I'll let there be fright. Let there be fright in the night! Would you like to join me at the graveyard tonight? Let there be fright! Let there be fright!
Efforts of the Count Dracula Society, so long as they remain consistent with the loyalties of a good American. And in sign whereof, I will receive all privileges thereto. So help me, Christopher Lee.
Thank you. It is said on clear nights, beneath the cold light of the moon, howl the dog and the wolf, and creeping things crawl out of the slime. It is then the ghouls feast in all their radiance. It is on nights like this, most people prefer to steer clear of the burial grounds. It is on nights like this that the creatures are said to appear and to walk.
It may concern. There is no escape. My enemy has caught up with me. Listen, do you hear that? The King Dracula, singing idol of millions. We were in the same class at school, Dickie and I. He was the one who lifted the teacher's wig. It was only a cover-up. He was the one who told my girlfriend my teeth were not my own. She almost believed him until I bit her on the elbow. We worked together on our first job. I shall never forget those days with the real estate firm Haunted Homes Incorporated. Suddenly, Dickie Dracula began to sing. Fans everywhere began to buy his record. He rose to fame and fortune, and I, left only to appear at an occasional Halloween party or to frighten people in cemeteries. It was a matter of grave concern. Then I hit upon a plan. I invited my friend Dickie to visit me. We'll watch the late show on television and have a friendly chat about old times. Dickie came. We watched television and we talked about old times. Then I invited him to visit my den. My plan was this. When he entered the room, I would slam the door and leave him there in the darkness. 48 loudspeakers would then be turned on automatically, at full volume, playing his records over and over again, and he wouldn't be able to turn them off. Ah, what a surprise for Dickie Dracula, singing idol of millions of teenagers. But as we entered, he became suspicious. He turned quickly and pushed me into the room and slammed the door, laughing. Suddenly, the loudspeakers came on at full volume, 48 of them, and I can't turn them off. Listen, listen. Dickie Dracula singing idol of millions, and I can't turn him off. Oh, what a horrible end this is.
Well, well. Good evening, kiddies everywhere. Here's your Uncle Jim bringing you another chapter in the story of everyday life and everyday people. Dracula on Sunnybrook Farm. Well, children, when last we looked in on Dracula, that lovable old character was staying at the farm of Grandpappy Murray and Grandma Irene. Things have not been quite the same at the Murray home since Dracula moved in. Listen.
Here's your pipe, Pa. Make yourself comfortable.
Thanks, Pa.
Say, did you see the Saturday Evening Post anywhere around?
Here you are, Pa.
Say, Ma, is that Francie Lou still taking singing lessons?
No, she ain't, Paul.
I wonder what that could be, then. Look at them, Ma. Dead body just come rolling down the stairs.
Anyone we know?
Yep. Yep, I reckon it's our eldest son, Herman.
How can you tell, Paul? He ain't got no face left.
Well, I know them suspenders anywhere. Somebody probably killed him, Ma. I don't see how the boy could bite himself in the neck that way.
Well, now, I don't know, Pa. Herman was my suspender. How many killings we had this week?
Well, five of our kids and the hired man. Makes me mad. We got plenty of kids, but help us get.
I only only hope all these killings don't make our star boarder, Mr. Dracula, move out.
Hello, Ma. Hello, Pa. Hello, James. Say, you and your brother Kenny are the only two kids we got left.
Dracula. Good morning, Mr. Dracula.
Good morning.
Well, how'd you sleep last night, Mr. Dracula?
I didn't sleep at all. Last night, I was out on a bet.
Oh.
Hello, James. Shall we go up to my room? Remember, you promised to marfake my bed spring.
Oh, sure. Sure, Mr. Dracula. Let's go.
Fine. Lie down, Mr. Murray.
Real nice fellow, ain't he, Ma?
Why, my goodness, it's James, Pa. Think maybe he's dead.
Ma, how can you sit there so calm knitting that sweater when your kids are getting killed?
Just you wait till I finish knitting this sleeve. You'll hear some of the gall-derndest screaming you ever heard.
Hello, Pa. Hello, Pop.
Hello, Kenny. Your brother James just got killed.
That's so. What we got for dinner, Mom? Oh, hello, Mr. Dracula.
Hello, Kenny. Why not come upstairs with me, Kenny?
Sure. Anything for a laugh.
Say, Ma, I wish we had more boarders like that Mr. Dracula. He sure cheers the place up. I guess it's that contagious laugh of his.
Well, well, this time it's Kenny. Say, Francie Lou.
Yes'm?
Looks like you're gonna do a little extra sweeping.
Say, Grandma Irene, where's that Mr. Dracula?
Right behind you, Francie Lou.
Uh-oh. Well, Mr. Dracula, I don't know what's going on around here, but if it's what I think it is, I just want you to know that I's anemic.
Francie Lou, don't be bothered, Mr. Dracula. If he wants anything, he'll order it. That's right.
Grandma Irene. Yoo-hoo. Grandma Irene.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Mr. Dracula. I don't like the way things are going around here. When you first came here, eight of us used to sit around the kitchen range. One by one, they're gone. Now, you and me better have a little talk before you become the Lone Ranger.
What makes you think I know anything about killing?
Well, I think you do.
Well, you're right. I murdered them all.
Well, gee, why do you do things like that, Dracula? Now, murder ain't a nice habit to get into. Gosh, that's worse than chewing tobacco.
I killed them all. First, the hired man. Then the children. I killed them.
Now, aren't you ashamed, Dracula, killing all those innocent people and leaving their bodies strewn all over the house? Everywhere you look, bodies, bodies, bodies.
All right, so I ain't neat.
Well, so much for chillins and chillins in the Texaco Star Theater. Thank you, Bela Lugosi, for stopping in.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the most grotesque of all? I am your friendly ghost guy. I will take you to see all sorts of marvelous wraiths, disembodied spirits from crypts and tombs all over the world. All happy haunts, except for that unnatural and dreadful one-eyed black cat. Watch out for him. He detests mortals, especially happy mortals. It's all right if you sit closer together, if you wish.
Yeah. You're listening to the Haunted Shack Theater, episode number 17, here on the Garage Podcast. Yeah, this is episode number 17, the Halloween special 2010 show. Yeah, this is the Halloween special where I take the haunted microphone and I put it right up to the haunted jukebox. And the haunted jukebox takes us to the fourth dimension. Yeah, out through the fourth dimension, through the weird circle, into the twilight zone and out into the outer limits. Back through to the hermit's cave. Yeah, from the inner sanctum. Out through the creaking door. And into the night gallery we will go. Through the graveyard. And out through the catacombs and the forest. Yeah! Oh!
Thank you.
American International presents Abby, the story of a woman possessed. She took the devil for a lover, and he possessed her, body and soul. Abby, a story of terror, lust, and exorcism.
Grab her arms and hold her.
Abby, starring William Marshall as the exorcist.
I command you to vacate this body now.
And Carol Speed as Abby. Can anyone stop her? Can anyone help her? Can anyone save her soul?
I've got Abby!
Abby, the story of a woman possessed. Rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
The possession of one's mind by the devil is a horrifying specter. To purge the devil from the soul of man, the power of religion is invoked to fight the demonic forces. Listen to the scourging of the devil by this exorcist.
Unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them. When demons come out, they cry just like this. Put your hand on your Bible. If you haven't got a Bible, put your hand on somebody else's Bible. In the name of Jesus. Come out, you devil. Out, you devil. Jesus' name. Come out, you devil, I charge you. Now, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Loose her. Loose her. Loose her, you devil. I said, come out. Spit that thing out. Here it comes. Amen. This is just tearing her apart. Remember the scripture says it rent him sore. It rent him sore. It tear him. This is painful. You devil.
You're not coming out.
May the power of Christ compel you.
You're ready to
say that again. You're not coming out.
You are coming out, you fool. What makes you think, you devil, you're not coming out?
You've got the hole.
You're going to break the hole, too, devil.
There's too many.
Now, some of you people may not believe this is real. If you had it, you'd know it was real. I'll tell you this. If you don't believe this is real, you better bow your head and put your hand on the Bible somewhere. That's why to help you believe. This thing comes out of this woman, it's coming out. It can enter into you. And it's a dangerous thing to come into a meeting like this, not believing that these things are real. I've seen people coming to meetings like this, laughing and scoffing and talking, doubting, skeptics, and they leave with a demon somebody else had previous. You devil, you're coming out. You've had it long enough. In the name of Jesus Christ, I plead the blood of Jesus. You tormentor, you foul devil. You devil of perverse appetite. You foul tormentor. I command you, come out of us.
Demons create a fantastic energy and are by nature ferocious. And when you cast a spell, you must know you will attract them. If demons are allowed freedom for venting the madness, they can be diabolical. They are the reasons behind haunted houses, howling storms, lost keys, droopy hair, nagging associates, and cool lovers. If you're strong, maybe you can ignore demons. But why not invite them into a magic circle? Your magic circle. Control their energies. Use them to see into your future beyond tomorrow. Throw a handful of rosebuds high into the air and let them fall and scatter where they will. Demons will gather. Their ranting and raving will create wild, exciting vibrations. While they wail, stare into the center of the circle. As you softly whisper the name of their demon king, he will come and answer any three questions about your future. As soon as he has spoken, perform a spell, because the energy within the magic circle must be dissipated, or it will escape and create havoc in your life. When the magic is done, destroy the circle. To make a magic circle, draw a 3-foot wide chalk circle and cover it with a fine heaped flour. Then place 3 black beans in the center and cover them with cloves, salt, and basil. 3 red candles should be flaming at the top part of the magic area. Now scatter the rosebuds. The demons will gather. Keep brave. They are helpless. Now will be the time to see into your future. Stare into the center of the circle, and as they wail, softly whisper the name of their demon king. Softly. Sacre Elmerid. Demon energy is best used to stimulate clandestine relationships.
Yeah? It's open.
Well, let's go.
All right.
Hello in there. Hello. This is another false alarm. Anybody here? I'm a doctor.
Hey, look. In the corner. This I gotta see.
Lady, I'm a doctor from General Hospital. Now, what's the matter?
She is screwy, all right, ain't she?
Right.
Come on, Doc. Come on, I should get her out of here. Or the straitjacket. Should I get the straitjacket? Oh, Doc, wait. Where are you going?
Can't get it open.
Huh? What's the matter? What do you want to go in there?
Can't get this open. Okay. Whoever is hurt must be in there. Blasted door. Come on, we'll break it down.
But the woman.
Forget the woman.
Come on, put your shoulder to it. Come on.
Yeah, all right. It's dark. Can't see a thing.
Go on back in the other room and get that kerosene lamp.
Well, I
get it, I say.
Yeah, I get it. Hey, Doc. The lamp.
Okay. Hold it high.
Yeah?
Oh, Mother in Heaven.
What? On the floor. What is it?
It's a man.
Oh, no. It can't be.
Yes, I tell you, yes, it's a man. A man. And he's been turned inside out.
Inside out?
Yes, see for yourself. It's a man. But the skin is the inside. The raw flesh is the outside. Organs hanging out. A miracle. A man turned inside out. They could turn a glove inside.
Yeah, it's alive. It's alive.
I see it, I see it.
Alive?
Yes.
Doc, it's trying to get up.
Oh, no.
Trying to get up, I tell you. Trying to move.
Sam, hold that light high.
I can't watch. Look at it, rolling over, trying
Sam.
To get up.
Stop that.
Look, trying to get up on its knees. Doc, make it stop. Kill it. Do something.
Sam,
man
stop.
Can't live inside Sam, out like that. I tell you.
Stop. Hysterical old woman, that's what you are. Now you stand there and shut up.
Listen to him. Listen to him. Oh, let's get out of here, Doc, please.
Don't be a fool. We've got to find out, Sam. Why? What? Look, there's another door.
Yeah. Open.
The answer might be in there.
Doc, don't.
The lantern. Bring it.
Gee, Doc, why can't we just go?
Hold it high.
Look. Doc, what?
Don't move. No floor in there.
I don't see nothing. Nothing but dark.
Well, look. The dark sort of spills over on the edges.
Huh?
Well, look, I tell you. It's a deeper dark than dark. Something moving in there.
Doc? Close the door.
No, wait.
Then I'll close it.
Oh, you fool, open that door. I've got to see what... coming in here.
Come on, Doc. Let's get out of here.
No, Sam, I'm going to find out what this is all about. All my life, things have been what they've been. I'm going to know all about this.
Please, Doc, please, let's get out of here.
Woman, if you know anything, tell me. What was it we saw back of that door where the floor should have been? Do you know?
She's going to the door. She's going to open it. Listen to me. Let's get out of here.
No, now wait. Looking in at the clock.
Yeah. Doc? It's coming up on me. Oh, Lord.
The dark.
It's like black smoke. Listen to it. It's reaching up to her.
Yes.
What is it? Smoke? Black? What?
Falling up around her.
It's covering her.
No.
Inside out. It turned her inside out. Inside.
Sam, get up. Sam, open your eyes. Shadows are crawling along the floor toward us. Come on, Sam. Come on.
Sam,
you're... Oh, you're too heavy. I can't lift you.
Sam, you've got to hear me. The shadows are crawling toward me along the floor. I can't leave you. You saw what they did to her. Look at her. Inside out. A woman inside out. Oh, Sam. I'll drag you out of here. Oh, you're so heavy. They're coming faster and faster. like long black fingers. Ah, my legs! Let go of me! Damn, I can't help you to holding me back. The black. It's covering you! Sam! No. No, you thing, whatever you are, get off me. Stop covering me. I've got to get out of here. I've got to tell them all about you. I've got to tell everyone there's something like you loose in the world. Got to warn everybody. Get off me. Move. Slimy. How can shadows be slimy? Look off. Bring me over. My head. My face. The door. My face. My mouth. The door. Oh, my heart. The door. Go ahead.
TV9, Los Angeles, your RKO General Station.
Good evening, and welcome again to Fright Night. Another gruesome twosome for your Saturday evening viewing displeasure. With your host, need I say it, that master of the macabre, the epitome of evil, the most sinister man to crawl on the face of the earth.
Seymour! Right on, Wayne.
Right on, Seymour.
Well, for those of you who may not know, this is Fright Night, and I'm your host, the master of the macabre, the epitome of evil, the most sinister man to crawl on the face of the earth, Seymour. And tonight, do I have a pair? I guess so. I want to thank all of you who showed up at the various places that I appeared at over the Halloween weekend. The Haunted House in San Bernardino, San Fernando Valley State College, a real weird group, the Wiltern Theater, not to mention Universal City.
Incidentally, in this movie, Frankenstein's monster was played by Glenn Strange, who was recently presented with a special award by the Count Dracula Society for his portrayal of the monster in a number of horror movies. Glenn Strange, as you may know, now plays the bartender in the Gunsmoke series. I attended the Count Dracula Society Awards dinner on the 22nd of last month at the Alexandria Hotel in Los Angeles. Now, I'd like to thank the president of the society, Dr. Donald Reed, and the other members of the society for making me feel at home. And I certainly felt at home with some of the weirdos that were there that evening. Vampires, Robert Quarry, the real Count Yorga, Francis Lederer, who played the King of the Vampires himself on Night Gallery last year, and Barry Atwater, who managed to make even the blood of the Las Vegas gamblers run warm in The Night Stalker. Would-be vampire killer Roger Perry from the Count Yorga movies was there too. We had a lot of trouble with Roger that night. He kept picking up his steak from his plate, trying to impale Robert Quarry. Now, in addition to Roddy McDowell, who was there, you remember him from the Planet of the Apes, he really looked nice in person. Now, he was there to pick up the award, which he was accorded last year. But he got there. There were witches, vampires, authors, directors, and producers in attendance. But the highlight of the whole evening was Joanne Worley coming out of the cake. And what a nice girl like her was doing in a cake like that, I'll never know. Now, next Friday night, you fringes out there will have two chances to miss me. At 7 p.m., I'll be at the grand opening of Lou Miller's Levi's and More store in Whittier. And later that night at 11 p.m., I'll be at the Pacific Palisades Theater in Pacific Palisades, presenting another great horror film for your viewing displeasure. Now, next week here at 10, we have for you the spider. Here's a little scene.
TV9, Los Angeles, your RKO General Station.
Hey, here it is! The Cape Canaveral Monsters. Now, I'd like to tell you it's a sci-fi classic. I'd like to tell you, but I call them as I see them, don't I, Frenchies? And this one, I don't see at all. All right, roll it. Oh, I can hear the dials clicking off already. Hey, I'm losing them. Raymond Burr does a swell sermonette later on. I might be in it. Stick around. I'm losing them. Oh. This next little grabber is a thinking man's sci-fi. It deals with mind over matter. And with your minds, it really doesn't matter.
Was that a scene? You bet your golden bat award that was a scene. But now, the time has come for me to take that dread sojourn into the world that lies out there, beyond the slimiest of all. Till next week, this is Seymour saying, if you do a favor for your best friend, don't expect payment. Demand it. Batty.
KHJ-TV ends its broadcast day. KHJ-TV Los Angeles is owned and operated by RKO General Incorporated and transmitter located atop Mount Wilson. KHJ-TV operates on Channel 9 by authority of the Federal Communications Commission in Washington, D.C. Throughout the broadcast day, some of the programs on Channel 9 are reproduced by means of film and videotape.